area.
Thank you. Hi, I'm LaTonya Manadin.
Hi, LaTonya.
I'm a little nervous right now. I generally don't like to speak in front of big crowds like this, but with the Narcotics Anonymous program. For me, that the definition of what a Narcotics Anonymous program has changed over the years to me. I was first introduced to this program in 1990, and I really wasn't clear about what I wanted to do with my life. The only thing I was really clear about is I wanted to stop smoking crack, you know what I mean? I didn't want to live like that anymore, but I was still fairly young, and I wanted to go back to the clubs and party and do all that. But when I got tired, my cousin took me to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and I can tell you the vision that I had when I went into the room was that I saw women over here and I saw men over there, right? And I just wanted to be over here. You know, I just wanted to find a man that wasn't smoking, wasn't getting high, and then go back and live a normal life. You know, they were talking about steps. They were talking about, you know, meetings. I like meetings because there were guys there. You know what I mean? And that's pretty much what I did. You know, you say, be careful what you ask for. I met a dude that wasn't getting high that day, right? And we started on a long journey of sponsoring each other, you know? And I couldn't fix him, and he couldn't fix me. So eventually, we parted ways. I had a son by him, and right before my son's second birthday, he hung himself because he couldn't stop using. Right. At that point, I knew that my life was starting to spiral out again, but I said I was going to manage because I felt too embarrassed to come back to the program because I had kind of turned my behind up to all the women in the program. I had a whole phone book full of numbers that I was afraid to use, you know. So I said I was going to manage. So what I did was I drank like a fish, right, and then I would treat myself every now and then. So that that behavior cost me 10 more years of my life. It took me 10 years to get back to the program, you know. And when I did, my last stint in a crack house was 30 days. I stayed in a crack house for 30 days. Not because, you know, I was like rolling like that, you know what I mean? It was the guilt and shame that wouldn't allow me to leave. Like, most of the people in my family got high, so I would go over to my cousin's house and everything, and I could stay that long, you know? But after 30 days, they got tired of family members knocking on the door looking for me. They was like, you're making it hot, you gotta go, right? So I went, and I went straight into treatment center. I didn't want to go home because as a direct result of those 10 years of trying to manage my disease, I also made a lot of drunk decisions, like marrying a man I didn't like, you know, like I didn't like him when the day I married him, you know, but he was convenient and I was so codependent, I didn't know how to be by myself, you know, and I grew up in an abusive household that taught me that it don't matter what he do or how bad he treats you or how, you know, how much he beat you, it's never a reason to leave. You know, I didn't know I had the option. So by the time I got to treatment, after those 30 days, I wanted to die. You know, at that point I had two children. My daughter was 14 by then, and the last time she saw me, you know, it used to be that when I came in the house, she'd run to me, she's just so happy to see me. Mommy, where you been? You know, and that last time it was like, you crackhead, you know? And I was crushed. And then something occurred to me at that point, because I got my first hit of crack from my mom, right? And my daughter was looking at me the way I used to look at my mother, you know? That if I wanted to do something different, not for me, because I didn't know, I didn't feel worthy to even deserve anything better than that, but I did want it for her, you know? And I didn't know how to fix it. So I went into treatment, and I said to myself before I went in there that if this didn't work, I wanted to die. So when I got there, this woman was working there. She was real confident, loud. She was bossing everybody around. She worked there, right? And I really admired her, and I felt safe around her. And she told me that I needed to get a sponsor, go to meetings, get a home group, right? Get a service position, and get myself involved in the steps. So after I got a couple of days in the treatment center, you know, I was kind of like, okay, I can manage this. I'm cool. I don't want to smoke crack. I'm back to where I was the first time. I'm cool. I don't want to smoke crack. But I'm not so sure I don't ever want another Heineken again. You know what I mean? So I was at a meeting, smoking there, the secretary's report, and this older gentleman, Harold J., came up to me, and he asked me about what my plans were. Was I going to stay, right? And I said, well, I told him just that. I wasn't so sure about the Heinekens, but what he told me was, get this program 1 year of your life. Right? He says, follow all the suggestions to the best of your ability for 1 year, right? And after your 1 year anniversary, they still sell Heinekens. You can have a Heineken. But understand that if you have the Heineken, it's going to be an exchange for everything, all the positive things that happened to you in the previous year, right? So I said, bet. You know, I could always manage. You know, I could stop for a little while. I just couldn't stop, you know? So I said, good, I can do that. I can do that. So I got a survey, I got a home group, I got a whole bunch of women's numbers with time, right? And they told me to read the literature. And that was my, that part right there was my first experience that, you know, it doesn't matter if I wasn't totally committed to this program in order to be a member of this program. All I needed was a desire, right? He didn't beat me up for saying that I wanted a Heineken, you know what I mean? So it gave me the courage to go on. So I met some women in the program who had more time than me because they had what I wanted. You know, they had confidence, they had peace in their life, they had integrity, you know? And I really suffered from very low, low self-esteem at that point. So I did what was suggested. I started working step work, and little by little, my head started raising. I was able to start, you know, thinking a little bit better about myself, learning how to practice the spiritual principles of this program. One of the biggest things that I'm thankful for, and that sometimes I have to check myself with now because I've gotten a little bit of time in this program, is that nobody judge you when you come in here. You know, this is like the last house on the block, right? And part of what this program is that, you know, we gain strength from each other through our experience, strength, and hope, right? So when I hear, you know, that you've been through what I've been through, it gives me the courage to keep going just a little bit longer, right? When I first came in here, I had this dude in my house that I didn't like, right? So I was sharing about it, and I was really embarrassed because I had all these other strong women sharing about, you know, they ain't taking no crap, they ain't doing this, they ain't doing that, and I felt weak, you know? And I kept asking them, like, what should I do? Like, how can I solve this problem? They just said, keep coming back, right? So they said, when it's time for me to do something, that God will let me know, right? So then I started thinking about God, right? And getting a higher power, God of my understanding. And that's a big part of what this program is, right? And I was really pissed with God for a long time, you know? So I had to learn how to pray again. Like, you know, I could do like the foxhole prayers and things like that. But I really wasn't, it felt fake to me, you know, to get on my knees and do that, because my grandmother already told me when I was pregnant with my daughter that I was going to hell because I was having a child out of wedlock, right? And part of what this reading talks about is that we get to form new ideas. We get to redefine ourselves in this process, right? This program is an opportunity to not get our lives back, but to redefine who we are, you know? There is a partial restoration, but, you know, some of the things I don't want to be restored back to, you know? So I was able to not use the God that my grandmother taught me about, right? And used the God that was comfortable for me, the one that was loving and caring and forgiving of all things, right? And that who loved me in spite of my faults, you know? Because my grandmother told me that I wasn't loved, you know? So I was like, what the hell? What I got to keep doing this for, you know? Why I got to keep being good if it doesn't matter? But I found out that it does matter, that he does love me, and that, you know, he didn't leave me, I left him. You know, but that's what this program gave me. It gave me opportunities to actually look at me, find out who I am, what I like. You know, a lot of things. It's something as basic as, for me, was like my favorite color. You know, I used to wear black all the time, but I wore black after I'd done some step work. I found I wore black in reflection of how I felt, right? But everyone told me, that's your favorite color. You wear black all the time, girl, right? You look good in black, right? You know, after doing some step work, I found out I didn't even know my favorite color. That wasn't my favorite color. It was an emotional expression that I was subconsciously expressing outwardly, right? So my favorite color is pink, you know? You know, and But I got all these gifts back, you know, in this process, right? Through working the process, being open, practice spiritual principles like willingness, honesty, like honestly saying how I'm feeling, you know, and accepting help, asking people and telling people where I am, you know, and that's what this program is. It's an opportunity to grow, to expand, to nurture, to give back, to help other people. You know, since I've been here, I've been on the H&I subcommittee since I've had 6 months clean. And, you know, people kept saying, you don't have no time. You can't do nothing for H&I. Well, I said, I'm going anyway, you know. And actually was another woman who encouraged me to come with her. And I went. And they put me in service immediately. And I've been on that subcommittee now 12 years. I've been on that subcommittee for 12 years and it kept me clean, you know, because, you know, as much as I've gotten out of this program, I can't keep any of it unless I give it away, right? And I felt that for me, H&I was the most selfless type of service I could do, because I really don't like doing this. I don't like speaking in front of a whole bunch of people. I don't know if the NA police in the house or not, you know? But I do like helping. I like seeing the light go on. You know what I mean? I like seeing the light go on. When you're able to go into the jails and the treatment centers and you can see that little spark of hope, you know what I mean? It's like I was telling a young lady the other day, I just did the jail on Wednesday, and I was telling her, like, every evening, because I work downtown on the days I have to go to the jail, and I'm fussing all the way up to 70. I can't believe I got to go up this joint again, right? But when I leave, I be like, oh, I'm so glad I went. You know, I'm like skipping down the hall on the way out. I'm stopping on the way in, but I'm skipping on the way out, you know? And I'm clear that that's what has kept me clean this long, you know? Service, helping others, doing the work that's necessary, being honest and able to take feedback from people even when I don't want to hear it, you know, because that's been the biggest thing. My biggest source of growth in this process has been when I'm mad about something or when I'm in pain about something, right, and able to get through it and go through it, you know. I kind of figured out that one of the biggest reasons why I use is because I didn't want to feel anything other than happy. You know, so I stunted my growth for a really, really, really long time, right? Because now I understand that nothing grows without water, you know? And it's okay to cry. It's okay to feel something, you know? It's necessary, as a matter of fact. I can't appreciate the joy without the pain, you know? But I got all this from this program, you know? It's so many things that this program is. You know, I'm pretty sure if you had everybody in this room step in front of this mic to to ask them with the Narcotics Anonymous program, you'd have a different story from everybody because it's a personal journey, right? But that's mine. My personal journey is Narcotics Anonymous. It gave me my life back. It gave me my self-esteem back. But it also gave me a new life. You know, the way I live today, I couldn't have asked God for it because I didn't know it existed. I never lived in a household where women weren't being called out their name. You know what I mean? I never lived in a household where someone didn't get hit. You know, even as an adult, because I picked up those same behaviors that my mother expressed to me, right? Today, you know, today, 12 years later, after being in this process, you know, I'm actually married to my best friend. You know, he's never called me out my name. He's never raised his hand to me. You know, in the beginning, I didn't know how to deal with it. You know what I mean? It took a while to adjust to living in peace. And I had called my sponsor when we first got together, before we got married, and I told her, I said, you know what, this dude is boring. He won't argue with me. I try to fuck, you know what I'm saying? He just sit there, you know what I mean? He just sits there, and she says, baby, you don't know boredom from peace. Sit still, right? Sit still. And I'm so glad that I took that suggestion. We've been together 12 years, and we've been married. This year will be 7, you know. And like I said, I couldn't have wrote this book because I didn't know it existed. Those kind of things exist on television, as far as I'm concerned, you know. But it's a direct result of this program that I'm able to not only live a new life, but to appreciate it because I have been the most ungrateful person ever in my life. You know, I've never appreciated anything that anybody ever did for me, you know, up until this point. Today, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the peace. I'm grateful for the monotony of every day. I do the same thing. You know, I go to work, I come home, I cook dinner, I go to meetings, I talk to my sponsees, I do service work. I love it. If anything disturbs that, I'm mad now. I don't need drama. I don't want to hear about no gossip. That's not who I was, you know, and I'm very clear that I'm not the one that changed me, you know. I owe the direct change to the God of my understanding in this program and the people in this program, you know. And at this point, that's all I really have to say about what's in the Narcotics Anonymous program. But outside of the fact that I am grateful for this opportunity and I'm grateful for this program. Thanks for letting me share.
Let's thank LaTanya for sharing. Again. Woo! All right. At this time, I am honored and pleased again to announce our second speaker, Bunny, from the Montgomery area. Woo!
Thank you on behalf of Narcotics Anonymous. Thanks for the applause and the God of my understanding. I want to thank the committee for asking us to share. For those of you all who don't know, that is my lovely wife, and she was talking about me. Okay. That boring guy, right? That boring guy. So, you know, please don't get up and leave, right? You know, just hang in there for a minute. I might say something, you know. Hey, look, I got somebody over here that knows me from prior to Narcotics Anonymous, so that's why they were over there like, what, him? Look, because when I was using, I was a shit starter, right? I used to say no. That's the way I was on the street. But by the time I met her, I had already been in here with y'all for about 3 years, right? 2 or 3 years, like 3 years, right? So I wasn't the same person anymore because I applied this program. We talk about Narcotics Anonymous program, man. Now, like she said, it's different from when I met her. You know, and then I would say it was a life-changing program, right? But I'm going to tell you right now, it's a life-saving program, okay? Because after 15 years, I look around And a lot of the people that I was using with, we buried, okay? So that I know that if I was still there using, I would be 6 feet under, right? Because I was doing the same things that they were doing on a daily basis. We had to go back to the neighborhood. She went with me a couple of times to some funerals of people I used to hang out with every day. Every day. Right? So I know this is a life-saving program, man. I just thank God, man. You know, this I've come full circle. I remember coming here. I had 2 weeks clean in 98. And back then, the convention was at the end of March. It was like the last weekend in March. And that convention was spiritually refreshed and glad to be alive. And I had 2 weeks and I ain't had no job, I had no money. And somebody said, man, if you could just get there. My sponsor and some other people in the program said, if you could just get there, man, we'll take care of you. Don't worry about a thing. We got you. Room, whatever you need. We got you. And that's what happened, man. I went to my mother. I said, I really need to go to this convention, you know. And look, my mother was sick of me by that point, right? Right? I know she really didn't want to give me no money, but she, you know, she said, if that can help your ass, here's $70. Go ahead on, you know. So I could put some gas in the car. Right? And get on the road and come on down here, right? And, you know, get food or whatever I need to do, man. And I remember just pulling up by myself. Now, I got in the car by myself and drove down here. I ain't hardly know nobody. I just knew a few people from the meetings. And, man, the people welcomed. It was, you know, it was people looking for newcomers to help. That was their mission for the weekend, right? So when I came in, man, they were like, hey, man, yeah, come on, man, we got you. You know, come in, man, get, you know, hey, you need some meal tickets, man, we ain't going to use these on, man, go ahead and use those. They had meal tickets for, you know, breakfasts or brunches or whatever, you know what I mean? It was a beautiful thing, man. And I was like, I don't know where I'm going to stay, man. And then, you know, this one young lady said, I don't have a car, but I'm staying down what's the next one down? Bethany, right? And I got in a condo, right? And I got two rooms, and you can stay in one room, and I'll stay in the other. I promise I won't bother you. You know what I'm saying? So I said, okay. She said, but I need a ride back and forth, right? So, I mean, it just, God put us together. It just happened just like that, man. You know, she had a need, I had a need, and we both helped each other out, man. It was a beautiful thing, man. It was like, and I could just feel the hand of God all over me, man, at that time, man. Even though I'm just coming in and I really don't have a relationship that, you know, that strong yet, but I could just, I'm starting to begin to feel something, man. It was a beautiful thing, man. That was, man, when I left that weekend, my mind was blown. First of all, I had never seen that many recovering addicts in my life, you know. I mean, when I came off, I had just come off the street like a couple of weeks before that, and I had been out there for years. I mean, down near the end, I was sleeping in the bushes, right? I was sleeping in the bushes. And it wasn't because I had to. It's because I thought it was a good idea. I mean, I didn't have no car no more. I used to just sleep in the car. Well, I destroyed that, right? So I'm still walking around the neighborhood. I had on some Timberlands. I was worn all over on the side, right? All you see was the top limbs of the tree that was on there. You know what I'm saying? Them joints was worn over. Timberlands. That's what you call them. Timberlands, man. And I'm sleeping in the bushes, man, you know, because that's a good strategic move, man. I could be right there where the action is, you know, all the time. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, if somebody come walking down the street, right, and they start talking, you know, I can hear them, you know. I just pop right up out of the bushes. Hey, what's up, man? What's going on? You got something working? Right into action, man. I mean, but I'm telling you, man, this was like a bright idea. I was like, you know, that was my best thinking at the time, man. I'm thinking, this is good. This is a good deal. You know, never mind the fact that, you know, I got on the same stuff every day, man, I'm sleeping there, and, you know, got bug bites on me, man. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Rarely did I even take my clothes off enough to really just look at my body, right? You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to see it. Once in a while, it scared the hell out of me when I saw it, man. You know what I mean? I look in the mirror, man, I could see my ribs from the back, right? I mean, that's some scary stuff, man. You know, that's bad, man. But I try to avoid, you know, I avoid the mirror as much as possible. So that's where I was. I come here, and, you know, you all just show me so much love, man. And when I came back, I remember driving back, man, just like floating on a cloud, man. And I'm talking about, I mean, that's all I can think about, man. Spiritually refreshed and glad to be alive, man. So, you know, I'm coming full circle, man. That was 15 years ago, 1998, man. I can't even hardly believe. Sometimes I pinch myself still, man, to believe. I'm standing here now. You know what I'm saying? At the mic, sharing my story after all of that, man. I mean, it's unbelievable, man. It was a dream. Now, while I was laying in the bushes, though, there were times when I could have what I call temporary sanity, right? Like, I wish this shit was in, man. This is some bullshit, right? You know, when you ain't got nothing, you ain't got no prospects or nothing, you know. Right? They say despair here, right? I'm talking about desperation. That's a little bit more. That's another level, right? Desperation. And that's why, you know, some days I say, man, I wish this shit would end. God, please help me. You know, I call on him, you know, when I really, you know, the foxhole prayers, when I really, really want something. You know, like then, when I'm really down so low, beat down so low that my spirit is just destroyed. And I just need some kind of help, some kind of way, man. Just, God, please help me. You know, almost to the point where you're almost ready to cash it in. I mean, not necessarily that I'm really thinking about suicide, putting a gun to my head. But, you know, I do it the other way. You know, let me just put a big hit on here and just let, you know what I'm saying? Just let this shit, oh, I'm through with this, man. This is crazy, man. I'm tired. That's desperation, man. In our literature, we call it, when we get on this side, we come into the Narcotics Anonymous program, right? The love that y'all showed me, we call it the gift of desperation, right? Because it was only then when we get beat down that far that we're able to open up, drop the ego. The ego is the enemy. And allow someone to help you. Ask for help. And, you know what I mean? And take the suggestion. Be willing and ready for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, the ego is gone. It's gone. It's like if you're drowning, right? If you're in the ocean drowning, and you start calling for help because you're drowning, guess what? The ego's gone. It's a matter of life or death. Ego's gone. Would it really matter if somebody came up to you and said, hey, motherfucker, you stupid motherfucker, take this life preserver, right? Would you say, oh, no, you can't talk to me that way? I'm not going to take that life preserver, no. But sometimes that's what it's like for us, right? As addicts, man, we don't want to, you know, we got a problem, somebody talks to us a certain way, can't do that, man, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But with the ego still involved, man, still there, right? Some of us don't know we're drowning, right? We tread water, so our head's above the water, so we all right, man. We don't need your help, man. No, it's okay. Don't talk to me that way. I don't like the way y'all, you know. Y'all just this and y'all is that. Would you care what the person is like if they got a life preserver for you? If you're drowning? Would you not accept that? It's a gift. That's what this program is. You ask me, what is the NA program? It's a gift. You know, somebody could give you something. You don't have to take it. You don't have to, you know, appreciate it. You could throw it in the closet and throw some shit on top, throw some old shoes and whatever you want on top of. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to accept it, man. That you know it's a gift, man. That your life depends on it. So you can grab on to the life preserver. No matter, I mean, that's what I would do. I don't care what he said, right? And how he said, don't matter. In fact, if I grabbed onto him, he pulled me up on the boat, what you think I'm going to do? Huh? No. Would I cuss him out? I don't think so. No, I wouldn't. He just saved my life. Without him, I would have been dead. So that's what I think about when I think about the NA program. I just told you what it was to me. It's a life-saving program. More than just a life-changing program. A life-saving program, man. And saves my life on a daily basis, man. Because the change happened, man. Because when I think about the traditions, when they talk about this topic, what is Narcotics Anonymous program, you know, because you got the fellowship, and that's what the group, you know, that's what keeps us together. The ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart. And I thank God for my sponsor who had me focus on the traditions early on. I talk about this all the time because I can see now so clearly in hindsight, but I didn't know at the time. I'm just taking suggestions. Right? And so many of us, like those of us that played ball, sports, or learned some other things, we didn't really know what the drills were about or what they were supposed to do when the coach told us to do it. In fact, we complained about them. You know what I'm saying? But they were there to make us better. We didn't understand that. But we did them. And we got better. Right? So I started following directions from a sponsor, and that's what happened, man. You know, reluctantly, I complain sometimes, you know, grumble. No, well, I got, man, what is all this? I mean, you know, he was talking about service, and I didn't even want to do it in the beginning. They were talking about service, and I'm thinking, man, you know, okay, I'm just trying to get off probation. Just get my sheet signed, okay? I ain't trying to really do all that, man. I hear you talking about how good it is for you, man, and what it's done for your life and all like that. I'm happy for you. Okay, can I get my slip signed so I can go? You know, so, I mean, you know what I mean? I asked my sponsor to help me, right? And then he tells me what he wants me to do, and then I don't want to do it. You know, I'm down with the discount, right? I want something for nothing all the time. When I had money, I used to stick it in my sock and tell the dude, this is all I got. You know, I always want the shortcut. I don't want to go, you know, I don't want to do the work. I want the results, but I don't want to do the work. I don't want to, you know what I mean? Only to find out, man, like y'all told me when I got here, man, every time I take the shortcut, I'm the one to get cut short. So my sponsor kept on telling me to get this service position, and then one day I tried to tell him why I couldn't get it because, you know, I got this job interview coming up. I don't know what my hour's going to be, man. He just looked at me and said, man, you full of shit, and walked away. He turned his back and walked away because I'd already been telling him different, you know, excuses for about 2 or 3 weeks. You know what I mean? And so I felt, look, this is where I felt. I'm in the ocean again. Without a life preserver, he's walking away like a ship sailing away, right? And on the horizon, and I said, oh, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. My sponsor, you know, he peeped my whole card, called it for what it was, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. Right? How I'm a bullshitter, bullshitter. He knows how that game goes, right? He called me. All the stuff that I've been working with, it worked so well for me out there and around in the street and getting over and getting by and taking the shortcuts here and there. It didn't work on him, man. And so I said, man, you know what? I got to do something different. And he kept telling me, if you want something different, you got to do something different. If nothing changes, nothing changes. And so I said, man, let me get the service position, man. Just so I can please him, and you know, and that's what I did, man. Everything changed, right? You know what the difference in that was? It's two things. First thing, they always told us get in the middle of the herd or the pack, whatever you want to call it. Now, you know, we humans, we think we're more intelligent than animals, but animals have picked up on this a long time ago, right? Right? When it's danger, they get in the pack, they get in the herd, they get moving. They huddle up, get close together. Who's the safest one in the herd? The one in the middle. Who are the ones who are at the most risk? The ones sitting on the edge over there fooling around, trying to figure out whether, should I get with the rest of them? Why are they running like that? Let me go over here and see what's over in the bushes. Something look cool over in here. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. The disease. Right? Waiting, just waiting to pick us off. Right? But I didn't know that, right? But here's my spouse. He's been trying to tell me and then funneling me and he got me, so I get involved, man. That's the one thing. The other thing is that now I'm involved, man. I'm starting to do something, right? You gotta live your way to a new way of thinking, not think your way to a new way of living. That's what I was going to try to do, right? I wasn't going to try to do all the work and the service. I was going to try to just sit there and let y'all talk about it and just let me think my way into it. Because I got a little education, you know. Piece of paper. So, you know, I'd done some studying, done some work before on my own, so I thought. When I look back on it, really, I had help all the way through that anyway. You know what I'm saying? Professors, everybody else who helped me, man, classmates, you know, all that. When I really think about it, but see, my ego won't tell me I did it. I mean, the God of my understanding helped me in that because, you know, sometimes for exam, you know, I prayed because I wasn't prepared. That's just the way I roll, man. I'm a foxhole type of dude. You know, when I get thrown in front of court, the judge, anything like that, man, I immediately get spiritual. I mean, when I was out there, I was in some situations, you know, out there on the streets. I mean, I had some guns right at my temple. You'll have a spiritual awakening there for sure, man. I mean, you'll be asking for some help from somewhere, a power greater than yourself at that point in time. You know, so anyway, I forgot where I was. Now I went too far off. But yeah, I always call on God. I'm understanding. But get back to the service, okay? I started doing these things, and this was the change process because I'm actually in the process of doing something, right? And my sponsor knew that the whole time, man. And it wasn't long before this started feeling good to me, you know. I was feeling way better than what I was doing before. Sleeping in bushes. State of desperation. Degradation. You know, all those things that in step one, that long line where it lists all those things. You know, one day I'm going to memorize all them things. That's what I'm doing. Next time I come, if y'all ask me to speak again, I'm going to roll that whole sentence off for y'all, man. Yeah, right on my hand. But loss of control, all that stuff, man, you know, degradation, dereliction, you know, all that stuff, man. That's where I was, man. I was sleeping in the bushes, man. Look, I always want to mention that whenever I speak because if I ever forget that, that's my motivation every day for what I do to stay clean every day. Right? That's all I got to do. I don't feel like it some days, like she said. I don't feel like it all the time. You know, but when I think of that, look, it changed my mood immediately. I said, it's a pretty good deal, man. All I got to do is drive up to Clarksburg, you know, to the jail, you know. And she's right, the same thing, man. Look, I've gone to the jail and shared H&I. I'm on the H&I subcommittee, been there on that since I had 4 months. I went there when I had 4 months, okay, 98. Summer of 98, I had 4 months. My clean date's March 10th, 1998. But I went around July or August for H&I, right? And I remember, you know, just asking. They said, come back next month. But anyway, I still go to the jail now. It took me a long time before I was able to get to go to the jail because you used to have 5 years off paper, you know. And it took me a while before I was able to achieve that, you know. But I mean, and I was so glad to be able to do that when I did. But then I was still a little bit scared because I never really spent a lot of time in jail, right? So I didn't know. But I did have a message because I'm an addict, man. They just addicts, man. That's all. We the same, man. It's just that if I keep going what I'm doing, I'm going to get arrested too. I was starting to get arrested a lot near the end, right? So anyway, I go share. You know, sometimes it's a game on, but I go do it. And then I'm feeling so great about it, man. I'm home parking in my cul-de-sac, my little space, right? And I ain't even never turned the radio on. I haven't been talking on the phone. I've just been in my own little floating space, man, just feeling so good about me and so good about life, man. And the step work, I went through all the steps with my sponsor, man, but, you know, the traditions kept me from jackpotting myself early on, right? Right? That's where I was, right? Yeah, I got back to it. Thank you. It took me a minute, though. I went the long route around, you know what I'm saying? Took a little detour, got back on the road. But, yeah, the traditions, because, look, the step process takes some time, you know? You got to go through each step and go through it with your sponsor. Do it. Take a little time for you to grow through and go through, right? Can't just don't happen overnight. But I could apply these traditions now. So when I have to be a uniform, I come in, I want to start an argument early on, just like I used to do on the street. I want to argue about stuff because I'm right. Right? And I want you to know I'm right. You never take me alive. If you back me up in the corner and I start feeling like you got me, I'm going to start talking about your mama or something, man. You ain't gonna take me alive, you know what I'm saying? So I want to make sure that I'm right, you know? So when we talking about a tradition or any kind of point having to do that, I already did some reading on. Right. So I'm arguing outside the meeting, and it's late at night. They call me and say, man, you was right on your point, but you was dead wrong because you broke the first tradition. You out there creating chaos, animosity, and confusion instead of unity. So what is the Narcotics Anonymous program? Really, it comes down to unity, which is really another word for love. You're practicing shit, man, instead of love. And that was a profound thing for me, but it took another addict to call me up at 12, thank God. Because I could have gone to bed that night, right, and still been thinking I was right about my point. Man, it took me so far away, it didn't even matter about the point no more. Because I'm out there arguing in the parking lot, we could lose that meeting. You know, them church people, man, they ain't going for that. I mean, they spiritual, but, you know, they know where to draw the line. They're not having all that confusion, man. And so then what happens to the addict who's looking for a meeting, looks on a meeting list, and he comes, there ain't no meeting there no more. He on the fence. He thinking about using. That's all he needs, some excuse, man. See, look at them addicts. They ain't even got the meeting there, man, I came for. You know? You know it's at least a beer and wine store, a liquor store somewhere nearby. You know what I mean? Why give them an extra hurdle? So anyway, these are things we think about when we think about unity, the NA program, man, what we bring to the program, man. And those traditions kept me from jackpotting myself and acting crazy, even though the change process, the inside job, hadn't fully taken effect yet. You know, I hadn't gone through all the steps. I hadn't done a fourth step yet. I hadn't done a fifth step yet. I hadn't become entirely ready to have God remove my defects of character. Right? I hadn't humbly asked him to remove my shortcomings. I hadn't made a list. I hadn't made any amends in that way. I mean, the IRS, I did have to do something with them. A little something, man, you know. I only owed him like $9,000 or something. I could pay it all at once, but, you know, I started making some arrangements. They work with you know. Yeah, they work with you, dog. You're doing the right thing, man. So anyway, Oh, man, like she said, it's an NA program, man. I owe my life to Narcotics Anonymous. I owe my life. When I was sitting there in the treatment center thinking my life was over, and the only reason I went to treatment is because I was in trouble with law enforcement, probation. And they were going to violate me. And I didn't want to go to jail. You know, I just ain't that kind of guy, man, really. I mean, you know, I just ain't. Man, I like sleeping with women. Now, and particularly my wife, you know. No, but you know what I'm saying. This was before I met her, right? But, you know, but I mean, you know what I mean? I it just don't appeal to me to be sleeping with a whole bunch of dudes up in lockup, man. You know what I mean? Plus, I like doing what I want to do on a daily basis. Just living my life freely, coming and going, you know. I value my freedom, right, today. My freedom means more to me than anything in the world. That's why I go to the jail, man. It always reminds me of what can happen if I pick up again. Man, I could be there. I see myself. All I, they got on green jumpsuits, man, up there in Montgomery County, man. All I got, you know, I look at that, and a lot of them I used to use when I know them personally. So I know my head could be sitting right on top of a green jumpsuit anytime I get ready to pick up again, man. Anytime I stop practicing principles, stop doing service, stop helping somebody else, do some step work, sharing with people, whatever the case may be, going to meetings, a whole nine. Man, anytime I stop communicating with others, man, getting the help I need, as well as helping others, man, I can easily. I know that I'm not immune, you know, from picking up. I've seen it happen over and over again. I buried so many people. I told you about the people in my neighborhood, but also along the way, so many of us in the fellowship that have decided to go out and take one. Beautiful guy, man, by the name of Ron, man. Love him to death. He passed, man. He could never get it, man. And that we had a blizzard a couple of years ago, and then he decided after being cooped up in the house for 2 or 3 days, he wanted to go get him one. Yeah, just had a baby. Not even a year old. And he decides he wants to go get one. He goes out, and it's snow everywhere, right? It's right after the blizzard. All of the emergency systems are taxed, right? And he comes home, says his heart is hurting. And she tries to get him in the car to take him because she can't get an ambulance or anything to come out. You know, it's like 2-3 feet of snow. So she had to hustle and get the little teeny baby together, get him in the car, all this stuff, she didn't make it. Didn't make it, man. It was heartbreaking, man. But when I came in, they told me, and as harsh as it sounds, man, I didn't want to accept it then, but I understand it now, man. Some of us must die in order for the rest of us to live, so others may live, right? And I now see it, because when I see that happen, man, I say, man, I can't do that, you know? I can't take it for granted what I have, this gift. You know, I have to treat it like a gift. They gave it to me, just like a life preserver when I was drowning. And I cherish it, and I take care of that gift on a daily basis, man. So I appreciate y'all's time. I want to thank all of you all, you know, those of you all who were here before me, and even as much the same vein, those of you all coming after me, do I see y'all working the program, man, because y'all renew our spirit all the time. And then y'all give us a way to practice the program. That's what we need. We need the newcomers to feed y'all and give y'all a message, man. And y'all give it back to us, man. It's love. It's love. What is the NA program? It's love. Thanks for letting me share.
All right, let's thank Bunny again for sharing. We have some extra time, so good news. We're going to open the meeting up to those who would like to share. But before we open the meeting up, please remember to come up to the podium one at a time, and also keep in mind that there may be others who want to share.